Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We're going to send you into the weekend with this. All the good, all the bad, all the dumb. We're going to let you process that all weekend. But let's get it started. The good of the day.
You know, we're going to send you into the good with two goods.
Two goods.
Two
I like
goods.
That. I like that.
The first good of the day, Tyreek Hill. You remember seeing the video Sunday? He threw a ball into the stands and a guy intercepted it?
Yeah.
Because that ball was meant for his mama?
Right.
Well, he did it right. He presented that guy with a signed football. I think it was yesterday. Invited him out to the practice field and presented and said, here, you know, thanks for giving that ball. Because the guy did give the ball up to his mom when he realized who it was and what's going
most
on.
Most of us would have.
Yeah.
And some
just,
of us would.
I'm just glad that he followed through quicker than late or sooner than later. You know, sometimes these guys are like, oh, you know, remember 2 months ago when I did this? Sorry, man, I was been busy. No, he did it within the week.
I would love to know how that works. Like, so how does Tyreek Hill throws a ball up, guy gets it, thinks it's for him. Oh, but it's for his mama, gives the mama. Then does Tyreek Hill go to the sideline and find a personnel person? Liz, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go up there. I need you to find out who had the ball. I need you to get his information. And then Monday, we'll find a way to contact him. I want to do this or this. How does that?
Or is it later? Because do you think because when he threw the football up, he wasn't there arguing like, no, that goes to my mom.
Right, right.
Yeah, so he turned and left.
Or is it a Dolphins representative's job to pay attention to that stuff?
Maybe it's that.
Right? Where they come back later and go, hey, Tyreek, we found this guy. He gave ball to your mom. We want to do something nice for him.
Yeah, we had to use FBI face recognition software to determine where he is. And he's a local guy here in Miami, so we were able to reach him.
I figured that I've seen this so many times, right, where I go, how, like, what is the process of getting a kid the baseball, like who missed out on the baseball, and he ends up getting a signed jersey. Like somebody, some team representative sees it on the broadcast and goes, let's send an intern to section 307 to find that kid and get his information and bring him down to the clubhouse where we're going to give him a Ronald Acuna Jr. jersey or something like that. Because you see it all the time. Like all these people get some cool gear. All right, well, that is very nice of Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. All right, what is the second good of the day?
I'm sure you saw the photos as well. They were all over the place yesterday. Browns tight end David Njoku.
I did not.
Who he had suffered, if you remember 2 weeks ago, he showed up to the game. I can't remember who the Browns played that game 2 weeks ago. Do you remember?
2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Was that
Baltimore?
The Steelers?
No. Well, maybe the Steelers.
No, I think it was Baltimore. I think you're right.
Steelers played and, the Browns like in week two.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. They had a bye last week, so it was 2 weeks ago. He showed up to the game wearing a face mask, like a complete mask. You could not see his face at all. And the reason why is because he had suffered burns from a fire pit accident.
Oh, yeah. I saw this on Twitter. Yeah.
And we'll get into fire pit accident in a second because I have other questions about that.
Right.
That always go to you and I talking about, you know, all the spring training accidents that always seem to happen each year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, he did post a video on social media yesterday of what his face looks like. And all I got to say is, how the hell did he play in that game on last two Sundays ago?
I'm going to look that picture up. How bad was it?
It is bad.
Well, how bad was it?
It's like his entire face is, you know, is three different colors.
Okay.
Skin is graft on that. I don't even know how to describe it. It's very difficult
to do in radio.
It is. It's hard to describe what a burnt. I mean, it's a burnt face. And yet he played in a football game. I think it was like 24, 48 hours later.
Oh, okay.
I think of me in that situation. I'm like, no,
I'm
looking
at it now. He's got discolorization on his forehead, on one of his cheeks, around sort of the eyes, but he's got sunglasses on.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really tell. And then sort of down by his chin, he's got some discolorization from the burns. And it looks like it's, you know, it's kind of charred a little bit, like a little bit of peeling that's going on in the first layer of the skin. That's gross. You're right. It's a burned face.
It's a burned face.
So what
face.
Did he do? Did he fall in the fire pit?
That's the thing. I mean, it just everyone's just saying fire pit accident. There's like nothing else. That's why I have questions. Because we always hear about these injuries. Maybe he fell.
Yeah, maybe he tripped and fell into it. Now, how he tripped and fell into it could be the next story. This looks like he fell into the fire pit.
Maybe
he tripped over the dog.
But even if you fall into the fire, I'm going to say this. Maybe he lit the fire pit and the flames blew up in his face, because I haven't heard anything about his hands.
All right, so let's.
If he fell into the fire pit, you're putting your hands down first.
So let's stop tiptoeing around this. Do you think this is something else and he's using the fire pit as an excuse?
That's where I'm leaning towards.
Don't be afraid to go there.
No, that's what I'm leaning towards.
Listen, I'll tell a quick story. Brian Griese was the quarterback of the Denver Broncos 20 years ago. And then one day out of nowhere, people said, oh, he fell. He tripped down the stairs. He tripped over his dog. People had no problems going, yeah, because he was drunk. Right? No one knew if he was or not, but people were like, no, yeah, you don't trip over the dog down the stairs. He tripped because he was drinking. Right? Then you find out later there was a party. So, yeah, if we think something else happened, do we think something else happened? That he didn't burn himself in a fire pit? But then how would you, what else? A grill explosion?
I mean,
didn't Hannah Storm have a grill explosion
happen on her?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think it's, because if you trip and fall into a fire pit, your hands would be burnt.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you were sitting there and you just
your face got,
you know, you just put your hands behind your back. You're like, I'm just going to fall face forward into this thing.
Okay, now what if it was a fire pit where he sprayed gasoline?
That's what I'm thinking it is.
And then it was too much gasoline, and then he lit it, and it burst up, and it hit him in the face.
Yeah. That's the fire pit accident, that he didn't fall into it. Yeah. That, you know, like the scene in European Vacation when Clark is manning the grill.
Yeah.
And Clark, you know, he puts gasoline on it, then wife comes by, and sure, she puts more gasoline on it, then he lights it, and it just explodes on him.
So
maybe that's it. Instead of taking off his eyebrows, it took off a whole bunch of skin. But, I mean, I look at it, I still don't know how he played. It was 2 days later.
But let's go back to this for a second. A
lot of painkillers?
I was going to say, the only reason we're impressed that he played is because it looks painful. What if it wasn't painful? You're not.
Yeah, no,
getting what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
It's not a broken arm.
It's not a broken arm.
All right, so he didn't play with a broken arm. He didn't play with a
dislocated
knee.
Not Philip Rivers playing on a torn ACL.
Right. He had burns on his face, but if it's not painful, it's just burns on your face that doesn't look good, but it doesn't affect the way you catch a football. If it was painful, if it was still painful, then you'd say, wow, the level of concentration that he would need to play in an NFL game, that would be impressive.
Or is he all numbed up?
If they had calmed down the pain, then he's like, well, then it's like anything else. Then if I don't feel it, it's like I don't even know I have it. So I can play in the NFL. Does that make sense?
That could, yeah.
Okay. So, but yeah. Because, I mean, he's got a picture of it. It looks terrible. But if he's like, yeah, this is just healing, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
it's healing.
The wind blows on it, you know, it stings a little bit.
Maybe it stings a little bit, but
yeah, it's like,
but
you
I'm
know,
not
scraping,
in agonizing burn pain.
I guess maybe it's like scraping your knee. It hurts, like if you take a shower.
Yeah, right. Like that must, yeah. But, I mean, it does look painful.
It does look painful.
All right, do we have time for the
if you want to carry it over, we can, but I can just touch on it briefly because we've already kind of touched on it.
Right.
But the bat of the day is that the four possible National League MVP candidates, and I'm talking about the Braves, Ronald Acuna Jr., Matt Olson, and the Dodgers, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman, went a combined 6-for-43.
I know. It was
in
terrible.
In the NLDS.
Terrible.
That's a 143 batting average. And it's something we hit on before, but it just bears repeating that your four top people who are in consideration for the National League MVP
failed to show up in the playoffs,
and they all had time off,
right?
So I don't know, was the time off too long for them? I don't think so. I mean, they all kind of, you know, both the Diamondbacks and the Phillies wrapped up their series rather quickly.
The one explanation that I've always heard about this for years and years and years is, if you were to take a snapshot at various points in the season, you might find similar situations where Betts and Freeman
just
weren't hitting over three games, right? take a three-game series against Arizona, or take a three-game series against the Giants, or two games against the Giants and a trip to Colorado, or whatever right. you want to do, there's probably a three-game sect where you can find where both of these guys didn't hit. The problem is that three games was on the national stage, the most important time of the year. So what I've heard for years is, yeah, it's not uncommon, but what the problem is that this is when you're supposed to do it and you didn't do it. And that makes it problematic because...
And it's easier for us to finger point because right. we all saw it.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes those games in June kind of get lost.
They get lost, right. But when you're on the national stage and the focus is intense and you didn't come through and it was real pressure, like I was saying before, you fly out with the bases loaded in the seventh inning in July, you'll blow it off. You do it in game two, yeah, you're thinking about that for a while, about how you blew that opportunity.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. By the way, that bad, yeah, those players, it fails to deliver the hype, right?
Right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, when you are doing the previews of these series and you're saying, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, or Matt Olson, and Marcell Ozuna, and Ronald Acuna Jr., and all of these players, and then all of a sudden they just fizzle out and just existent.
I think, you know, even if one of them, if they don't have to have good games at the same in the same game, but
right.
you would expect that one, like Mookie Betts stepped up in game two, or, you know, Freddie Freeman stepped up in game three, or Acuna Jr., you know, something like that. It was just that, I mean, they were, all four of those guys were pretty much non-existent during those series.
No, without question. I mean, the only thing, saw it with the Dodgers, we saw it with the Braves, where guys would come up with opportunities and fail to deliver on those opportunities.
Yeah, the only highlight I really remember was came from last night when Acuna Jr. was trying to get, what was his name, Acuna?
Oh.
The other Braves, it's another Braves player who was, you know, doing the clown face, sticking his tongue out.
Orlando Arcia, yeah.
Yeah. It was getting him to turn around.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, stop, turn around, focus on the game.
Now, the shot that he hit that Rojas caught was a great hit.
Yeah.
But it's still an out. It's still an out. You know, it's too bad. Somebody made a good play, but that happens.
Yep. So.
All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, Tony, is that a fourth grade teacher, at the Academy of Innovative Education in Miami is in some hot water.
Yeah, when you say fourth grade teacher in hot water,
a little nervous now,
I'm
right?
I'm very nervous. Yeah.
Well, he let his students decide on the movie that they were going to watch for Friday Fun Day or something like that, or Fun
right.
Movie Day or whatever. Because, you know, just teachers do that from time to time as a reward. And he let them choose the movie, and the movie that they chose was Winnie the Pooh, Honey and Blood.
Oh, nice. Well done. Yeah. And he didn't think with the title Honey and Blood that he should say, no, I'm putting some editorial discretion in this one.
This is where teachers kind of get burnt out a little bit and just don't care.
Yeah.
Because that movie ran for a full 30 minutes before it was shut off. And apparently, I have not seen this movie. I don't know if you have yet either.
Was it the blood and the guts, or was there nudity? Do we know?
Apparently, the first 30 minutes of the movie are pretty gory.
Okay.
And these fourth graders were subject to watch it, even though they were asking for him to turn it off, but apparently he was busy off in La La Land doing something
else. Yeah, of course, that's what they do. Like, you don't notice this when you're a kid, but then when you look back on all the movie days that you had.
Yeah, oh, God.
And you're like, oh, I get it. Yeah,
I mean, we were excited when the TV cart came in.
Yeah.
We didn't realize our teacher was extra excited that the TV cart came in.
It took me years later, but I remember one time I was behind in homework. Okay. And I didn't do my homework the night before. And we were going to watch a movie in French class, right? Something in French. And I took that opportunity to like finish my math homework, right?
Yeah.
And my teacher caught me. And he said to me afterwards, he was a teacher I respected, but caught me. He said, hey, what were you doing? I said, math. And I told him. And he was very stern about it. He goes, can't do that again, blah, blah, blah. But as I got older, I realized, what were you doing during the movie?
Right.
Like, I was doing math. What were you catching up on during our time?
Grading?
Yeah. Were you grading exams? Were you grading tests from another class that you were teaching? Uh-huh. Were you catching up with the syllabus on something else that you failed to do prior to your arrival for the school day? Exactly.
Because last night you decided to stay up and watch the TV show or the game or whatever's on, knowing that it's like, hey, I already planned a movie ahead of time.
So when I got older, I realized I did something on my time. You did something else on your time. And we used the movie as an excuse to get caught up with something we didn't have. Like, I saw him at his desk. He was writing something down.
So I
wish I had that foresight. Now, I don't think I would actually have done anything with that at that time.
But what you're saying is this, that Jeff Spicoli was right.
He was right.
That we can enjoy a little pizza on our time.
On our time. Like, I felt bad that I had to catch up on math during the French movie.
Oh,
but
I used to
you
do
were
that.
Catching up on something else during the French movie.
I used to do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, whenever the cart came in, it was like you wanted to make sure that it's like, okay, you know, hopefully with the image on the TV is not too dark. Because when the thing is lit up, because when they turn off the lights, it was dark in that room. And when the TV, the light emitting from the TV, sometimes that was just enough for me to sit there and finish my homework for the next class.
Yeah.
Because I put it off.
And by the way, Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey was created because it's the Winnie the Pooh licensing thing.
Yes.
His copyright is done. Same with like Mickey Mouse. I think Mickey Mouse is done.
There was another one.
Yeah.
I don't remember
what
it was.
A bunch of these are like popping up now where like you reach a point where the copyright runs out and becomes public domain.
Yeah, there is another movie that you're like a beloved Disney character that is now being pushed into something else that's you just can't think of, can't imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't even know how this passed the smell test anyways. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. When the teacher got the request for the movie and it was Winnie the Pooh, Honey and Blood, shouldn't the blood part like set you off a little bit?
Exactly.
Or maybe when you see the photo of Winnie the Pooh, like, you know, that doesn't look like the cartoon Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, plus you're dealing with fourth grade kids.
Like, or maybe
they're going to laugh or giggle or act up.
And maybe they thought it was going to be scary, and it was like, you know, but not completely scary. And he was sitting there, was like, well, how scary can it be? It's Winnie the Pooh.
Well, that's a dumb thing for that teacher. Well,
so
he probably was like, whatever.
A little bit in trouble.
But he's probably in the lounge smoking, going, oh, my God, it was Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I didn't even care.
Yep.
it could have been Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. I have no clue. I don't care. Just keep those kids quiet for it. God, drives me crazy all day.
That's what they wanted.
This job is. I go home. I drink. I can't sleep. All I hear is kids screaming all day. My life is terrible. Ugh. How did I get involved in this in the first place? Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I mean, please. Now I got to answer to that from the supervisor. Oh, God.
I got to talk to Mrs. Smith. Because her child is now scarred from watching a slasher movie.
My bad. Sorry.
He was the one that requested it.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's the
Let him have a cookie after 8 p.m.
Right. Bobby Taylor is going to join us coming up in just a couple minutes. Again, played for the Eagles most of his career, played for Notre Dame. He's going to join us, part of the NFL Flag Football Program, Coach of the Year Award that is going to be given out. So he's from Houston. Speaking of Houston, the Cougars won last night.
Exciting.
West Virginia, a wild game, a wild, fun game that was the first Big 12 victory for Houston. Congratulations to the Cougars and former West Virginia head coach Dana Holgorsen, who got a victory last night on a tipped up ball. Never tip it up, by the way. Why do people continue to make this mistake?
I thought it was common knowledge. You bat down.
Bat down.
Like you go up there and you try to spike it like it's a volleyball.
Don't lift up. Spike it down. And get it over with and done. That's how you emerge. West Virginia was one of those teams, too. Like, if you were looking at the Big 12 standings, you would see Oklahoma, Texas, and in the middle was West Virginia, because West Virginia had a pretty good start to the season. They lost their opening game to Penn State, non-conference game, but then had won four in a row. And it's like, oh, there's West Virginia, this unranked 4-1 team. And they were going on the road to play Houston. And if they had won that, they'd be 5-1. Like, that's messy. But now you don't have to worry about that anymore, thanks to the Cougars, who pick up their first win. They scored 42 points in the fourth quarter alone before landing the big last-second touchdown. The teams combined for 42 points. And then the last second touchdown tipped up, caught it, and it was a 41-39 win for Houston, winning their Big 12 opener. So good for them. Yeah, West Virginia was quietly good, but this is that time of the season where attrition steps in. It's like what Matt Mershell said. Yeah, everybody, we can all get really excited about where these conferences are, but then now it's time to watch them beat each other up a bit, right? There's going to be some of that's going on in the Pac-12. SEC is going to do that. You start seeing a little bit of separation, and so this is the time of year where you're going to start to see that. So teams that are having really good stories to start the year, yeah, well, their conference schedule hasn't really kicked in yet. Washington, Oregon, though, this weekend, I'm really looking forward to seeing both Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. This is two really good quarterbacks that are in the running for the Heisman Trophy. Now, this is not a make or break Heisman game because the Heisman Trophy is weird, and it's one of those awards where you don't have to have a great game, but if the image of you is doing something awesome late, it does affect how the voters process it. And because the one thing about the Heisman Trophy is, if you get 12 people in a room to discuss something, it's like a jury. If you're in a jury, you might have like 3 people that go innocent and 9 people that are saying guilty. Well, the goal is to get all 12 people to agree on one thing or the other. So you talk it out, you talk it out, you talk it out. And you go, all right, well, let's go over the evidence again. Let's go over the transcript again. But when you have so many people voting for the Heisman, you have somebody like in, Rock Hill, South Carolina, who's got a vote. Who's like, wow, you know what? That Bo Nix game late in the season against whatever, that really impressed me. I'll throw him on there. And you don't even remember what happened on October 14th when they played Michael Penix Jr. There are some voters that's how they vote. Whereas others go, let me dissect all the candidates. Let me look at every single one of their games. Let me go over the advanced statistics. You got some voters that do that too.